Very good morning, your daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, coming live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns and Yidinji Country, BBM Bumba Group Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to the National News Radio Service. Catching up with Noongar brother over in WA and a strong activist for our mob, Merv Arkees. Merv Eads. You there, my brother?
Yeah, John. Good morning, Trev.
Yeah, very good morning, Merv. Thank you, brother. Before you start, let the mob know who you mob, where you're from.
I'm a Noongar man from West Australia. I'm a Menang Noongar man.
Two Delhi, brother. Beautiful footprint there. Here we are, 2023. Happy New Year to you, my brother. We Happy still year, fight as First Nation people for our existence, our acknowledgement. Here we have Survival Day coming up, the 26th of January. But also on the table is the voice to Parliament. Tell us your thoughts. Where are you at with everything as we travel into 2023, brother?
2023 is going to be a big year for our people and the decision-making of our mob right across the country. And, you know, in Invasion Day, the 26th, I think there's going to be a great theme this year. And from what I understand, talking to the mobs in all the different cities and states, the theme is going to be no to constitution. So I hear from a lot of the mobs in the activist world across the country. And you know what? I don't blame our mob, brother. And you know, when you have a look at it, what does it give us? What has it given us? Me personally, I say it's a eggshell with no yolk.
Yeah, gotcha. Good description.
It's empty, like everything they've ever given us, ever offered us. You know, there's no bite to it. There's no bite at all to it. And, you know, it's going into the Constitution. One thing our mob's got to understand, and the wider country, because the wider country will be voting, and, you know, their vote's worth more than ours because they outnumber us. We're only 3% of the general population. What they've got to understand, and there's still racist laws within that Australian Constitution that they want to put us within. And what will it do? What will it give our people? Will it give us equality? No. Will it stop incarceration, the mass gaps in society, child protection, removing our children? All these years after they said, sorry, we have 25,000 of our Aboriginal children in out-of-home care today. The homelessness, you name it, all the stuff that's happening within our mobs and our families right across the country, will this change it? I say no, it doesn't. And as far as their constitution, it's 230 years old. They didn't include us in the beginning.
Exactly.
They looked at us like of all classes.
Flora and fauna, brother, flora and fauna.
And, you know, they didn't want us, and there's still racist laws within us. But we have a constitution of our own. We have a constitution of our own that's called law and culture. Which do they recognise? They don't recognise our law, nor our culture. And, you know, Trev, it's quite upsetting.
Yeah.
We will go within their constitution. They've taken the land through native title, and this will have the rights to the people, control over the people. It will not give us nothing, Trevor.
My question to you, what I'm picking up from you, Merv, that you're not for the voice to Parliament. You don't agree with it?
No, I see it as like an egg, brother.
Yeah.
No yolk.
Egg with no yolk. That's your description, yep.
It's empty. And, you know, what it gives our people is very little. It will not change what we endure day by day, the inequalities, the poverty, the homelessness, incarceration.
So-called closing the gap, not there.
No, it's not going to close, no targets. The targets are all getting bigger.
Yeah.
Let's be real. And, you know, anything they offer us is always emptiness. And when they want us to go in the Australian Constitution, the Australian Constitution has racist laws in it.
Yes.
Still, that remains today.
Okay.
And racist laws that was made against our people when they came here. They didn't recognise us. They seen us as flora and fauna.
Yes.
Less than an animal.
So if not voice to Parliament, what would be the next thing, brother?
They want us within their constitution now. But what will it give us, Trev? What does it actually give us?
Tiger with no teeth.
No quality of life.
Yeah, brother. Can you hear me there, Merv? Yep. No, I lost Merv again. Continue that yarn. We'll get Merv to call back. He feels an egg with no yolk is how he did the description he gives for Voice to Parliament. Doesn't mean anything. And he's all pushing for treaty, of course. But anything they give us is not good in regarding the government. So he disagrees with it all. But, we'll try and get Merv back, continue the yarn here on your daily program, National Talk Black. And good yarn with you, mob. Stay tuned. BBM 98.7 FM, Trendy Trevor and Mike. And taking right through 12 noon Queensland time. And big shout out to the news team, National News Radio Service, allowed this program to cross the airways. Too deadly.
This is Tanya Kernaghan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
This is dedicated to the family and friends that didn't get to see us make it to this point. To the family and friends that have supported us from day one, we thank you. Shout out. Birds Loop.
4077.
Trees Loop. Stars Loop. Where you at?
Many years ago, but most of you know, I was out of control, never listened to what I was told. And one time, I went to Indrapilly, did something silly.
Oh, really?
TFSFCBN, me. Had
had a little fun with the hottie. We're cruising through the Brisbane suburbs looking for a snatch on our way home. Oh no, nigga, I was on my back. Oh yes, we crashed.
Were you going too fast?
I don't know, I'm having flashbacks. Thinking about all the things that I done. Going all night, coming back till the morning sun. But my friend Richie tagging on train lines. Pack pop pool, I'm high, see the demons in my eyes.
It's time to ride.
Today we stand as one tribe. Fill your glasses up, raise them to the sky.
And I'm still the same,
ain't nothing changed.
And I'll be a YZB the game. Rolling around the neighborhood, always up to no good.
And if you don't recognize, then you should.
And I'm still the same,
ain't nothing changed.
And I'll be a YZB the game. Rolling around the neighborhood, always up to no good.
And if you don't recognize, then you should.
It's really changed in our hood, I wish it never would. We freestyle with juveniles that are up to no good. Never fold, too hot to handle, too cold to hold. DCP and aim on B, on a mission for the gold. The dough, the bread, the cash, pass the hash fast. See the diesel make a dash, laugh, I'm going in the flat.
That's how it's done, son.
Spot a bully man and run as fun till you're staring down the barrel of a gun. Brutality is a cold reality. Gradually, tragedy changes your mentality. Profanity becomes a part of your personality. The strategy is not to lose your only bit of sanity.
Huh?
We want mob from friends to family. So understandably, I carry on the name like it married me. Actively causing chaos with catastrophe. Practically telling you that's the way it has to be.
And all is still the same.
Ain't nothing changed.
And all will be a YZB the gang. Rolling around the neighborhood, always up to no good.
And if you don't recognize, then you should.
And all is still the same.
Ain't nothing changed.
And all will be a YZB the gang. Rolling around the neighborhood, always up to no good.
And if you don't recognize, then you should.
Indigenous intruders, that's our name.
Sex, drugs, grog, money, that's just part of the game.
It's all the same, every B.O.I.S. is on a mission.
Wishing to make something go missing, it's a competition.
Hey, it's an all aboard tradition, so listen.
Blaze up and pump your system.
With the screwy indignition, burning rubber, watch your smoke go in the air.
Throw your hands up like you just don't care.
Oh yeah, putting it down for my boys, we be keeping it real. Doing the deals, drop the dope to steal for a meal, for real.
It happens every day in INALA, getting shots, getting wrecked and blowing up payday.
From Monday to Friday, I'm sent to get an education, but my communication with administration causes irritation, aggravation. Trying to stop this creation, never fading.
Don't you live another situation.
And all is still the same,
ain't nothing changed.
And all will be a YZB the gang. Rolling around the neighborhood, always up to no good.
And if you don't recognize, then you should.
And all is still the same,
ain't nothing changed.
And all will be a YZB the gang. Rolling around the neighborhood, always up to no good.
And if you don't recognize, then you should.
Still the same,
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 ain't nothing changed.
Still the same,
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 ain't nothing changed.
We still the same,
still the same,
still the same,
still the same,
still the same, ain't nothing changed.
Still the same,
still the same,
still the same.
Yes, very good morning, New Delhi Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, coming live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BB and Bumba Bripper Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. And you can yarn up strong here on our daily program, National Talk Black, voice for our people. Do utilise it. Now, pedestrian deaths are declining in other states, but sadly, it's still rising in Northern Territory, where every victim last year was Aboriginal. What a statement. With that, we're going to talk to Thalia Anthony, Professor of Faculty of Law, University of Technology, Sydney. Professor Thalia, very good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. I'm good. I'm calling in here from Gadigal country.
Yes, beautiful. Thank you very much. And look, welcome to the program. Look, very sad statement to hear this in regard to, great that pedestrian deaths are declining in other states, but Northern Territory, they're rising, where every victim last year was Aboriginal. Now, can I ask, are you First Nation?
No, I'm from Cyprus.
Okay, well, thank you very much, my sister. As a First Nation man, as a black man, to hear such a statement, every victim last year was Aboriginal, that's concerning.
It's a tragedy.
It is a tragedy, and what I'm talking about is that a form of murder. I don't know. Please explain.
It's really worrying because we don't know what's happening. Often it's hit and run.
Well, there you go. Well, that in itself is a crime. That in itself is a crime.
That's right. That's right. Exactly. And you know, the irony is that when you look at Aboriginal people in the Northern Territory, they're the ones being locked up for driving, whether it's unlicensed, unregistered, uninsured, all this minor stuff.
Yes.
And the government's putting all these resources into locking them up. And yet when their lives are taken on the road, there's no political message, no urgency to to deal with this problem, to hold those people to account. And it just sends another message that governments and people on the roads are not caring about Aboriginal lives.
Yeah, sad. So with that, so as a professor, what's your role? Are you studying the declining but also the rising of pedestrian death, and but also highlighting the point that all victims in Northern Territory were Aboriginal? So what do you do with this information as a professor?
Yeah, so for quite some years now, I've been looking at, in my research, including with a Wiradjuri professor, Juanita Sherwood, at the road deaths in the Northern Territory, but also how the police are locking up Aboriginal people on the roads. So looking at how pretty much since colonisation, the vehicle has been used to control Aboriginal people, to take their lives, including in police chases, and also to prevent them from, you know, for many years they were prevented from accessing the vehicle and moving around, and they were, you know, made to be kept on stations or missions. And so it's really interesting how the motor vehicle can become so dangerous to the lives of First Nations people and also become a tool of dispossession.
Yes.
So I like what we've seen and what our research is based on with Juanita is talking to Aboriginal people in remote communities where, in fact, they drive really safely because remote communities are mostly Aboriginal people and they care for one another. That's, you know, that's the centre of culture to care and show respect. And so many of the pedestrians are not losing their lives in remote communities. They're losing their lives in the bigger towns and cities where it's mainly white drivers, where there isn't that level of respect and care. And, you know, when I heard about these most recent statistics, it reminded me of this case in 2009 where Kumanjai Ryder was killed by five white men who were driving a four-wheel drive.
Chasing,
and they
ran him down.
Sorry, what was that, Trevor?
They ran him down.
Yeah, they ran him down and lots of other people in the Todd River camps.
Yeah,
and those white fellas did it intentionally and they didn't get a tough sentence.
Yeah, see, and that's ridiculous. And see, and we as black people, if there was a black person driving a car chasing a white person, they'd get life imprisonment.
100%. 100%. And they do. And this is the...
One rule for one, different rule for another, Professor.
Sorry?
Very sad, but one rule for one, different rule for another.
Yeah, it's two laws. One law where white people are allowed to get away with, you know, harming First Nations people, and then another law where First Nations people are made to pay for the most minor infringements.
Exactly.
And that's what's happening on the roads. These are what this statistic is bearing out.
Well, we're talking about stamping out racism. Well, it seems that there's racism in the courts.
Yeah, and what I did a study with Professor Tranter, and we looked at how white drivers are sentenced and Aboriginal drivers. And when it's an Aboriginal person, the judges throw down the book. They demonise the person, they demonise their character, they disregard the fact that many Aboriginal people might be driving unlicensed, but they drive carefully and they drive for cultural obligations and to help family. So they're treated very harshly, but when it's a white driver, the person is commended for their good character, for just making a mistake. And so the ways in which the courts...
White privilege.
That's right. And it doesn't... If you're a white person in the Northern Territory and you see the court saying, well, it doesn't matter if you hurt an Aboriginal person, you're not going to be treated as harshly, that changes the culture.
It does.
And it legitimates the harm to Aboriginal pedestrians.
Well, to open up the conversation to our listeners just tuned in, I'm talking to Professor Thalia Anthony, Faculty of Law, University of Technology in Sydney, and the topic is pedestrian deaths are declining in other states but still rising in Northern Territory, where every victim last year was Aboriginal. I was going to ask you in regard to the question I was asking is, were the people, the victim, were they intoxicated? But you did state some of them were hit and run. So then we start to think they use that tool, that vehicle, as a weapon. If you hit and run, that's a crime. And if they if they hit the people who are intoxicated, well, maybe the person not knowing where they are because they're intoxicated stepped on the road wrong time, you know, wrong place, wrong time. But if they're not intoxicated, it's still a hit. If not hit and run, then, well, that's still a black person being hit by a car and caused death is caused.
100%. Because I actually spoke on ABC Darwin Radio, I think it was yesterday or a couple of days ago, and a few people called in and there was a consistent story, which I found interesting, and it was that people are frustrated because Aboriginal people walk onto the road arbitrarily, they said, and some of them might be intoxicated. They didn't know. You can't know for sure. So there was this story. And so in my
But I was just going to say, Professor, when driving a vehicle, you've got to have your wits about you and be alert and concentrating. A kid could run out on a road. A dog could run out on a road. You've got to be ready for the unexpected anyway.
Well, this is right. And if many people know that this happens, they should take greater care because it's not an exception. According to these people dialing in, it happens all the time. So that should mean that there's, you know, a special responsibility for people to watch out, because that is that's the culture. And in remote communities, it might happen, but people don't die because Aboriginal people in remote communities drive really slow and really safe.
Well, the sad thing is the courts are rewarding the so-called death as well.
Yeah, because the courts I think, based on my analysis of many court decisions, they're part of the problem.
Yes.
They're not dispensing justice in a way that's protecting Aboriginal lives and deterring white people from doing these kinds of things. So there's no, you know, they don't need to take care because they know there won't be repercussions.
Professor Tully, with your studies here of this this area, are you a tiger without no teeth? Where does this information go? Can we take it to the courts? Can we take it to, I don't know, Black Deaths and Cutting? Can we take it to the law? How do we change this? Because every victim being Aboriginal in a pedestrian death, that's not good.
Yeah, and I think at the end of the day, it's political. This is about power. And unless we're, you know, trying to shape that power or change and transform and disrupt that power, nothing's going to change. So, I mean, I try to do lots of advocacy that's led by the contributions of First Nations people in the Northern Territory, like to create research to support and in solidarity of what their concerns are. Because, you know, when it might just be like reported as a pedestrian statistic, but that's someone's loved one. That's their family. That's part of their culture. It ripples throughout the territory, and so trying to, I guess, create research that strengthens that, you know, that advocacy for the family is really how I try to place them, and just try to build, you know, that resistance in the community, because I think at the end of the day, when we come together, we can be the power that dislodges government. And you know, even this radio show, Trevor, like it's
a tool. It's a voice. It's a voice, exactly. And government do listen to our conversations. So thank you for calling in. But this needs to be studied on, need to be acted on. So we as black people were thinking, so you're driving along the car, coming up to pedestrian crossing, and you see white people, you slow down. You see black people, you speed up. I don't know. That's how we think then.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And I interviewed a few years ago homeless people in Darwin.
Okay.
And, you know, a lot of them are made to... Darwin has the highest homeless rate in the whole country, and it's because there's a lot of poverty and housing issues in the Northern Territory.
Yep.
And so they told me when they come from the remote community to Darwin, they feel like they're being targeted by vehicles. They feel really unsafe living in the long grasses or on the side
there
of the
go.
Road.
Exactly.
And in their minds, and I think racism is very much about one's experience, their experience is that the drivers are treating their lives with disregard.
Well, and if a white person knows he's going to get off as well.
Because often the white system only hears white experts and puts a mirror to itself. But when we hear the voices of people on the ground who see this every day and they tell me that's what they fear, I think there must be some deliberate effort to at least scare, if not harm, homeless people in Darwin.
That's Professor Thalia Anthony and Faculty of Law, University Technology, Sydney. And we're talking about the topic as her studies and her survey regarding pedestrian deaths are declining in other states but still rising in the Northern Territory, where every victim last year was Aboriginal. So that in itself is concerning, it's disheartening, and it scares the hell of us as black people. That is a way of killing our people, if you look at that. I mean, every pedestrian dead happened to be black. I mean, you know, and some of them, as Professor Talia pointed out, were hit and run. So go figure. Have you seen Jan Upstrong here on your daily program, National Talk Black? 20 Trev Murray from Macquarie, National Talk Black, a one-hour yarn here at Bummer Bipper, BBM 98.7 FM. Go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. Too deadly.
Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7.
I remember the day.
I'd like to thank Uncle Archie and my sisters, Titters, Dan Sultan, Kev Comedy, paving the way for me and many. The stand up tall, young black and deadly, I'm proud and ready. I'm the black prince to many, like Michael Long kicking goals on that telly. Yup, change that day, I'll change your mind, boy. Perspective, your way of life, you may deny. I promise if we get this right, we'll be living in our day where our days are fine. But it makes me sad that we can't understand all this pain from stealing the land. And I'm a proud Aboriginal man. That's why I got that flag tattooed on my hand. Cause we're the oldest in civilization, yet we're the coldest in a hypocritical nation. So I'm waiting for the day that you're proud. All my people not mistaken us as patience on a race it and never answer minimal information.
A black swan, stand up tall when you're singing, cause you're singing for me, my man. Black swan, black swan, black swan. A black swan, stand up tall when you're singing, cause you're singing for me, my man.
I was floating down this river and looked out the side, and I saw all this land get took. And yeah, I'm sick of all these white fellas thinking that they know better when they knew never. Yeah, and man, I stand up for what I believe, that's the answer. Question time, freedom of speech with a plan, but that's why I stand pants down with my hands up, bruh. I get asked about 3 times a week if I'm Aboriginal, but see, don't matter what the colour of your skin, where you've been, brother, written in my blood, black history, brother. And I can feel it, man, the energy, the synergy, you mimic me, deep down the truth is you're sick of me. Napalina, Kuparuna, Niara, I'm from a Tulumpanga, Larapuna, yeah, Luchawita. Love for Larrakia and NT, Noongars West, Curries, Murrays, all that love for all the Ghana mob in SA. They understand what I say, cause I talk like
taking all of bow my knee as we're walking out the door, and they're leaving all of their loving, and she's telling him to let go. You can see it in the writing as we read it on your wall. She's a devil in disguise, and I'm a pawn to a lust, pawn to a love, cause. A black swan, stand up tall when you're singing, cause you're singing for me, my man. Black swan, black swan, black swan, a black swan, stand up tall when you're singing, cause you're singing for me, my man, my man, my man, na 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 na. A black swan, stand up tall when you're singing, cause you're singing for me, my man. Black swan, black swan, black swan, a black swan, stand up tall when you're singing, cause you're singing for me, my man. Black swan, black swan, black swan. Black swan, stand up tall when you're singing, cause you're singing for me, my man. Black swan, black swan, black swan. Black swan, stand up tall when you're singing, cause you're singing for me, my man. Black swan, black swan, black swan. Black swan, black swan, black swan. Black swan, black swan, black swan.
Very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country. As BBM Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM, and go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. Survival Day, there it is, 26th of January, that's happening. What's your thought on it? Give us a call, have your say, and yarn up strong. We're going to catch up a yarn now with the Foreign Minister of the Soviet Yidinji Government, and that's Murumu, and got Murumu on the line. Murumu, very good morning. How are you?
Oh, Trevor, very good morning to you, and good morning to the listeners.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from.
Well, the person is Murumu Wallaburra. That's 100% Yidinji. Mm. The man is from all over. I've got Gugiyimata bloodline from the Torres Straits, as well as Europe. So I've got a bit of mix. But,
fruit salad, fruit salad, fruit salad.
Fruit salad. Right? So mixed lollies. But the the persona Murimu Wallaburra is 100% Yidinji.
Okay, beautiful. Thank you. And speaking of that space, the sovereign Indian government that you're the foreign minister of, we are about to hit the date of 26 January. So Australia Day, or First Nation people on the Big Island call it the Survival Day, the last day of freedom on the 25th of January. So from the sovereign Yidinji government point of view, and you as the foreign minister, what's your take on Australia Day, Survival Day?
Well, January 26th is just another day. I mean, it's India's National Day as well. But more importantly, it's Yidinji's National Banking Day. So it's the day we launched our central bank digital currency, and the Yidinji government, of course, has its central bank. It has it's building its world, and the Yidinji society is benefit to that. So the Yidinji nation is modernising using all the latest in technology and things available to the Yidinji Nation to create and, I guess, just reinvigorate the law that's always been here. January 26th is important. We're not interested in changing the date.
Okay.
That's for Australians to change the date. I know that there have been a number of days that have been called Australia Day in Australia's past, but, you know, that's for Australia to make those changes. The Yidinji Nation is not really interested in those things from our point of view anyway.
Well, what you're saying is it doesn't affect the Soviet Yidinji government. And to our listeners out there, Soviet Yidinji government, as we as First Nation people of Australia, the Commonwealth, the Australian government, does not have a treaty with its First Nation people. So we've got the right, as under UNDRIP, United Nations Declaration of Rights of Indigenous People, to start our own government. And that's what the Soviet Yidinji government has done.
Exactly.
And so, it doesn't affect what happens in the Commonwealth in regard to decisions, yeah?
That's right. So our National Day is January 7. We had a very big celebration.
We did, yes.
And I was lucky to talk to you that day.
Yes.
So these things are really important. And, you know, there's a lot of Australian people that do celebrate it. And there's a lot that don't celebrate it as well. I mean, you've got the protests. Mm. Down south and probably here in the city as well. But, you know, we're not really, while we don't either support or condemn that kind of stuff, we're sort of focusing on our National Day, on developing the Yidinji Nation.
Okay.
But I can understand why people won't celebrate it. That's not the issue for us, though.
Sure. So in regard to, anything that happens in the Commonwealth, it doesn't faze the sovereign Yidinji government. Because the other question I have for you is, what's your thought on voice to parliament?
Well, the voice to parliament is a benefit for the Indigenous Australian. Now, the Indigenous Australian is someone like Pauline Hanson, Jeremy Geyer, or all these other things. Their personalities inside the Commonwealth. So, you know, we are created in God's image, so our bodies are created as man and woman when you're born, in terms of the biological makeup. But the identity takes a different form. So that's what I'm saying. Murimu Wallaburra is 100% Yidinji.
Yes.
Whereas the other one I mentioned is 100% an Indigenous Australian. And that's how it is. Like Mr. Mabo was an Australian who's going to a Queensland court. Koiki was another thing. It was a tribal a description, an original title, let's say.
The original title,
for that,
yes.
For that particular man. You know, they're the things that we look at, and that's where sovereignty is all about. The voice to Parliament is for Australians, so Australians will vote on it. Yidinji doesn't vote on it, and Yidinji won't have a voice inside the Australian Parliament.
Thank you.
We have our own Parliament. We meet every last Tuesdays of most of the months, and I'm sure that'll restart again in February. But
the
point being is that know what's available, know what's on offer, and use it to your advantage. So you can use the Australian persona for your advantage.
Sure.
And at the same time build your tribal world. So it's not a bad thing to hold an Australian identity, or you know, wouldn't say it's a good thing either, but it's how you use it. That's the key to it all.
Sure.
I just simply don't hold anything but a Yidinji identity.
Okay, so when you look at the Commonwealth, anything under that umbrella, So, yeah, so I'm talking about sovereign Union government, which is the standalone government away under away from Commonwealth, Commonwealth government of Australia. So everything that we're talking about here today, Australia Day, Survival Day, talking about the Constitution, anything happening under Commonwealth, that's all in the Commonwealth space, where it doesn't affect sovereign Union government standing alone. Is that right?
Well, that's exactly right. From our point of view, I mean, if Australia keeps talking about a treaty, they obviously don't have one, for example. So yes. Who did they treaty with? It was John Howard that would support the claim that a nation cannot treaty with itself.
Hmm.
So Australia can't treaty with Australia. So, as much as the state of Queensland wants to talk about treaties, and there might be good intentions behind that with Anastasia Palaszczuk and the others, but it won't.
No meat on the bone. So you're talking about if what Mr. Howard said, former Prime Minister, you cannot treaty to yourself. So here we have sovereign Indigenous government, a standalone entity. Well, now they've got someone to treaty to, yes?
That's right. So, Queensland isn't sovereign enough, for example. So they use Australian money and Australian Defence Force and the Australian federal part of that realm is the key administrator, I guess, because that's the federation.
Yes.
Between the states.
So you're saying the Soviet Union government got their own currency?
Well, that's right, and all the tribal nations actually can go down that track.
Yes.
We sort of promote that with the protect the Commonwealth of Australia, caveat. So go ahead and do your business, but look after Aussie because that's the one that's on our doorstep. Let's look after the businesses, the hotels, the airports, the hospitals, the whole lot. And that, is for the tribes to really take that on board.
Yes.
And show some leadership with it.
Okay.
Inside Australia, you sort of got those parameters there. And to the best of your ability, you might be, let's say, an Aboriginal Australian or Torres Strait Islander, and you become Prime Minister. It's going to be a hard slog, but, I get there.
Mm.
But it still doesn't settle the past and secure the future.
Yeah, gotcha.
And that's what the Indigenous government's all about.
Okay, so when you look at the sovereign Indigenous government, got their own currency, got their own constitution, got their own flag, and they are government in themselves. With that, and to put the taxpayers at ease, you're not funded by the Commonwealth, so there's not taxpayers' money at the table running, steering, paying for the sovereign Indigenous government. Is that true?
That's right. So we are developing our own world. So that means our own central banks, like I said before, and all that kind of stuff.
Yes.
This is if you look at different tribes, for example. Like Israel, if you look at the Bible and their written history, it talks about all the other nations that you see today, like Macedonia or Syria and all those types of things. You can see that there. So we're just saying, well, if it's good enough for Israel,
yes,
it's good enough for Yidinji or Gyalanji or someone else. So if you're anti-Yidinji, then you probably don't agree with Israel either. So it's one of those things that... We certainly are very careful to make sure that there's no confusion. So even in Moses said that, if you're going to have a king, this is what he said to his own people, if you're going to have a king for you, make sure God is the one that chooses it and don't have a foreigner as your king. So King Charles is king of Australia. He's not the king of Yidinji. He's not the king of Gugujungan or anyone else.
Yes.
The Aranda... or anyone else, the Wurundjeri, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So, it also says there about, when you do that, make sure when you're sitting on the throne, like when you're doing this back on the throne or whoever's nation, make sure that they write on a scroll a copy of the law. So all we're doing is we're saying, okay, well, we're back on the throne now. The Yidinji's back on its seat. No one else is.
Yep.
And Yidinji has made a copy of the law on a scroll, which is our legislation. It is our parliament. So we're following the exact template that Israel did. I met with some of the Jewish community recently
yes.
to talk about Yidinji passport travelling to Israel and things like that. So these are the conversations that we can have, but to make sure that we look after Australia, we want them to come to the table.
So you're friends of the Commonwealth? Yes, sovereign Yidinji government.
100%. Yep. We're friends of everyone.
Okay.
You know, the Yidinji nation is a friend to all but an enemy to none.
Mm, beautiful. Yep. So in regards to the sovereign Yidinji government, so you're an entity in yourself, so there's no treaty with the First Nation people, but now there's another entity. So would you be open to conversation with the government of Australia, the Commonwealth, to talk to you about a treaty on Yidinji?
Absolutely.
Yes.
And if they don't want our treaty, that's fine. We can talk to somebody else,
Okay.
Like New Zealand or Israel. But why do that? It's too much work, right?
So, sure.
We're just making it really simple for the Commonwealth of Australia.
Exactly.
And I noticed that Anthony Albanese was up here a week or two ago, and, you know, it's a bit of a kick in the teeth that he doesn't come into the office.
Okay,
yes.
Well, he's travelling on your dingy country, and he's coming to another country. He should acknowledge the government of that country.
That's correct. Now, we're not saying we speak for everyone. We can only talk for the Yidinji. So the Yidinji elders, in I think it was 2013 on January the 5th, got together, and on the 7th those letters were delivered. So the thing is that, you know, I'm not the Yidinji government. It was made by the elders.
Yidinji people, the elders of Yidinji, yes.
You can watch that video if you want, if you come to the office, we'll show it to you. But
yeah.
I'm a Johnny come lately.
Okay.
So I've just got to, you know...
Wear the foreign minister hat for the sovereign Yidinji government.
Exactly, because I can talk to foreign nations.
Yes.
That's what I enjoy. So it's not about knocking people off the land and this, that and the other. It's about just making sure that everyone comes under the law and the rule of law is upheld.
Yes.
And so the government of the Commonwealth of Australia needs to, come to the table. If they don't, that's fine too.
But, so,
don't need to force them.
Yeah, but don't need to force them. And so we are, you say, sorry, Yidinji government, you are not a threat to constituents under the Commonwealth. So for people who are living on Yidinji, non-Indigenous at that, if you've got a business, if you've got a house, mortgage, that's okay. We're not here to take your mortgage or take your business. Continue with your business, but just acknowledge and know that you are on Yidinji country and there is a government here. Is that what you're saying?
There's two worlds. There's coexisting sovereignties, as they say in the Uluru Statement.
Mm.
For example, James Henry is the in the Australian realm is the justice for the Supreme Court of Queensland.
Mm.
Every year, the members of the Yidinji Society and our government and the Yidinji Police oversee that law ceremony in the front of the courthouse.
Yes, I've witnessed that, and with that, the judges of the courts take off their white wigs, their robe, lay it on the ground, and the Yidinji government lay the shield and the spear on top of that, first law of the land, highest law of the land, but there's that transaction that's going on.
That's correct. So one is a derivative of Britain. So their law system, as you can see, is from the wool on their head, it's from Europe. Okay, that's a second in time, if anything. So maybe third in time.
Sure.
So
and every year you do this, don't you? On the lawns of the Cairns courthouse.
Yeah, we call that place Binaga Bulumba, which is a place of attentive listening.
Okay.
That place now, which Australians describe as the Cairns Magistrates Court or the Cairns Supreme Court, is where they're not a tribe. Australia's not a tribe, remember, but they're going to have to get the tribal blessing. That's where it happens.
Okay.
And we do that in good faith.
Yes.
So that means, yes, you can have your law here, but don't interfere with what our government's doing and what our citizens are doing, for example.
Mm.
We'll look after that. Our police will take care of those things.
Okay.
Okay, so that's just the simplicity of it. But it's a very, very moving and powerful
gesture.
Ceremony.
Yes, it is. And when you look at it, they are lawyers. They are judges. They understand the law, and for them to lay their wig and their cloak down, they're knowing the law is do not take something that's not yours, and they took the land. So they're respecting the traditional owners and the true owners of the land is what I'm picking up there.
Well, Let's just say the king's back on the throne.
Okay, right.
So, and that's the Yidinji nation.
Yes.
No ifs, no buts. And you know what? If you don't like it, but fair enough. And you
fair
can,
enough.
You know.
And we're not forcing nobody to like it either.
That's not our problem.
Yeah.
The point being is that we're not here to change the date of Australia Day.
Yes.
We're not here to get seats in an Australian Parliament or a voice to the Australian Parliament.
Mm.
That's the business for the trustees.
Under the Commonwealth.
Trusteeship is there. The Commonwealth of Australia, if that's what they want to do and offer their Indigenous Australians, fair enough, you know. But that's not a place for the Yidinji Nation.
Beautiful. You painted the picture, my friend. Well, thank you very much. So we don't have to say, all the best for Survival Day. It doesn't affect you. It's just another day for the Soviet Union government who are doing due diligence in regards to their business on their country. Yes?
Yeah, there's a lot of hurt and pain. I understand that.
Sure.
But now's the time to change it, to move forward with your tribal nation. Talk to our government.
Yes.
And we'll provide you... You don't have
and
to
that's all constituents? When you say talk to our government, that's all constituents who are living on Yidinji? That's black and white?
Well, anyone. But I'm just saying if you're from a different tribal nation, for example,
yes.
and you're looking at asserting your sovereign rights, then fair enough. We can do that. As long as you're there to protect the Commonwealth of Australia, which is what you know what we
in your constitution
encourage.
Yes.
Yep. Because you've got to remember that we don't want a seat at the United Nations.
Mm.
You know, it's a long way down the track. We don't want that.
Sure.
At the moment, Australia's already there.
Yeah.
So the offer of a trusteeship or a treaty, a formal agreement, is to say, Australia, do your best, represent us at the international law level. You just let your UN members know that we're coming to visit the tribe in the Amazon or tribe over there.
Beautiful.
And we use that. And Australia can administer all that kind of stuff.
Lovely.
But there needs to be a formal agreement, and that's what is missing.
Sure. The Soviet Union government, alive and kicking well in the 21st century. Thank you very much for the yarn, Murumu, Foreign Minister. We will talk soon. All the best and have a great day, my friend.
God bless you in Jesus' name and love your neighbour.
Simple. Thank you, brother. Beautiful yarn. That's a beautiful yarn there with Murumu, Foreign Minister of the Soviet Union government, and just talking about Survival Day Australia and how does it affect the Soviet Union government. Well, the Soviet Union government stand alone in their own entity and under UNDRIP, United Nations Declaration of Rights of Indigenous People. There's no treaty with the Yidinji people or the other 250-odd tribal people in this country, in Australia. So the Soviet Union government have started their own government and been running now since 2013. And they've got their own constitution, own flag. They've got their own office. And it's not funded by the government, so there's no taxpayers' money and the due diligence. And they are communicating with friends of the Commonwealth, but communicating with the Commonwealth, trying to. Sometimes doors are shut, but at the same time, they've communicated with other prime ministers and other leaders of other countries. And